Fitzpatrick takes a knee and it's over. The season comes to an end as Houston loses 14 straight after a 2-0 start. 2-14, matching the worst record in franchise history. The Texans are done in 2013 with big changes on the way.
What happened last year is not acceptable. It's not what we do, and it's not what's going to happen in the future.
With the new year came a new regime.
And so with that, I would like to introduce our new head football coach of the Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien.
And not just with the coaching staff.
Airs it out, right side of the end zone, and caught! Owen Daniels, touchdown Texans!
It's been a hectic offseason for the Texans, and we're not close to being done yet. It's time to get you caught up on who's back, who's gone, and all the happenings of the offseason in this special edition of Texans Huddle, starting right now. Hi, everyone, and welcome into Texans Huddle off-season edition. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And, Mark, while this is the off-season edition, really, it's our first one of the year. We'll be going weekly from here on out. Boy, it's good to be back.
We're back! I'm so excited about the football season, and we still have a lot of waiting to do, but the draft is coming up, Patty. Thank goodness, because I can't stand the suspense anymore. We need to know who the Texans are going to pick first and down the line as well.
Well, next week will be our draft preview special, so we'll delve much more into that as we go. But, you know, when we left off last year, Wade Phillips was the interim head coach. The Texans were wrapping up the season. Boy, a lot has changed this offseason.
Well, Patty, and Bill O'Brien is obviously the most significant change, the new head coach of the Houston Texans. And I was fortunate enough to be on the plane when we picked him up that first week of the offseason. And Coach O'Brien has brought in an entirely new staff, a different way of looking at things. He went to work immediately on the building. He took down a lot of the pictures, took the names off the lockers, put on numbers, went with a team-first attitude. It's not like they didn't have that before, Patty, but I think you had to have something shocking happen to the building here, just change the culture immediately. So he did what he could. And the players have come in now for off-season conditioning, so they're getting a taste of what the O'Brien era is going to be all about. It should be very interesting.
What is your sense from the few times you've spoken to him, you see him around here, the building? What is your sense of what that O'Brien era will be like?
Well, he's very intense, Patty. There's no question. But I think all NFL coaches have to be intense in order to be even remotely successful at their job. But I can tell you this. I've been around some good coaches in my life, various sports. I was with John Calipari in the 90s when UMass was going to the Final Four, that kind of thing. And, you know, certain guys give you that X-factor buzz when you meet them. And Bill O'Brien is one of those guys. I think people naturally gravitate to him. He's phenomenal speaking to crowds. I had the town meeting with him a few weeks ago and have interviewed him a number of times. Great with people. And I just think that he is going to be able to take people's performance and make them go beyond what they would normally be capable of.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's hear from the man himself at the town hall meeting that you suggested and a couple of the other times Mark's caught up with him since he's got here.
It's a game plan offense, you know, in this league. You know, I think you've got to be ready on a week-to-week basis to change. You know, you've got to do things offensively to take advantage of what the different defenses are doing, and that's not always the same thing. So the players have to be resilient. They have to be smart. They have to work hard. They have to be tough, and we'll coach them that way. And so, you know, it's a game plan offense. It's a multiple offense, and we do what we need to do to win games.
When we look at players in the draft and we look at players in free agency, it's all about versatility, guys being able to do a lot of different things. We have a phrase that we use a lot, and it's called the more you can do. The more you can do as a player, play different positions, be a versatile player, then that's the type of player we're looking for.
Our goal every year will be to win games and make the playoffs and get into the tournament, because I think when you get in, you've got a chance, but you got to get there first. And there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. And we're a ways away from that, but we're going to get there eventually. And the fans of Houston, the city of Houston, deserves a winner here, and that's what we're going to try every day to give them.
So, Mark, the man definitely seems to have a plan. He's also got a coaching staff in place. Romeo Crennel, one of the first big names that he named coming in here. Just some of your thoughts on some of the other new coaches and one or two of the guys that he did manage to keep.
Well, what's interesting to me, Patty, personally, is that now Myself and Jay Brunetti, the equipment manager, are the only people in franchise history to have been to every Texans preseason and regular season game. But that's besides the point, I guess, as far as what you want to get into here. What's interesting also, Romeo Crennel, you brought him up. His defenses have always been known as kind of bend but not break defenses. If you look at the statistics, they've given up some yards, but what they do is they stop the opponent at the moment of truth. Historically, in his career as a coordinator, I think you're really going to enjoy watching him work. It's a different 3-4 from what Wade Phillips was running, so you're going to see some personnel adjustments and changes as we move along here. A lot of players have left here, Earl Mitchell and Antonio Smith as free agents and that kind of thing. You're going to see a different-looking defense here. But to bring in Mike Vrabel as linebackers coach, very interesting. Has the history with Crennel as a New England Patriot and also played for the Kansas City Chiefs when Crennel was there. And you look at George Godsey, quarterbacks coach, who's really the de facto offensive coordinator. O'Brien is going to be the OC, but Godsey's going to handle a lot of those duties. Really interesting to hear from some of these guys.
And Bill Kolar, Bob Ligaszewski, a couple of coaches that were on Gary Kubiak's staff still here. Kind of nice to have a little bit of continuity for a little holdover.
Yeah, I think it's good because then you can ask those guys, hey, what happened in this situation? And if nothing else, it's travel, it's some of the routine stuff. I think that's good, as Bill O'Brien has obviously been in the NFL, so he knows the lay of the land. But you have guys who have coached in the NFL last year, guys who haven't, who have coached college, and you also have a couple of guys who have been here in Ligaszewski and Kolar, and they love Kolar's passion. And also Ligaszewski, one of the great guys to be around, and you can see his enthusiasm on the practice field.
Well, former New England Patriot Teddy Bruschi knows Bill O'Brien very well and had some interesting things to say about this staff.
I played with Romeo to where, you know, you played different fronts in the biggest of games. We played four-man fronts. We played, you know, three-man fronts, 3-4, 4-3, hybrid fronts. To play all those fronts, though, you need special players that are smart and that are athletic, that can make plays from various different places.
Tell me about what Mike Vrabel brings to the Texans defense and what you see him doing as far as that assisted job.
Well, I think he brings his intellect, first of all. I mean, his knowledge of the various schemes that we ran, his experience that he had at Ohio State. I mean, we always knew he'd be a coach. Let's just say it, put it that way. I mean, in meetings with him for years, I mean, he was always the one that were making the adjustments as a player before they needed to be made. I mean, he was the intelligence of the operation. I was the middle linebacker, but a lot of times I was going, Frames, what we got here? You know, and he would give the answer. So, I mean, he's going to bring that there. I think he'll bring a perspective of a former player, which you always need on staff. Not only a former player, but a former player that has done it on a championship level, and he can bring that type of experience and knowledge to that team.
Now, Bill O'Brien is his own man. He's his own coach, but he's talked about he's been influenced by Bill Belichick. What sort of Patriot influences do you see O'Brien maybe bringing in with Crennel and with Vrabel, and how might that fit with this bunch that the Texans have so far?
You know, that's just the thing. They're slight, you know, but what I always respected about Billy O was that even though, you know, he was from the Belichick tree, you know, he could still break away and put his own individuality on a team. I mean, him at Penn State. I mean, he'll do that here now. I think that's what's going to make him succeed, the fact that he's not going to try and copy what was done in New England. He is going to try to make it original in terms of the Billy O'Brien system, and I think he'll do a good job at that.
Interesting thing about Teddy Bruschi, Patty, he won 3 Super Bowls with Crennel as the defensive coordinator in New England. I think it's really notable that once Crennel leaves, they haven't won a Super Bowl since in New England. Obviously, they've been excellent, but it shows you what Crennel meant to that organization.
Let's hope he brings that mojo here. We just take our first time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, Mark will be joined up with a Hall of Famer. Stay with us.
Get access to the latest Texans news, podcasts, scores, radio, and more. Download the new Texans app for iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry devices for free now by texting Texans to 51288. Text Texans to 51288.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle, off-season edition. And as with any off-season, players coming, players going. Sadly, Mark, some of our favorites, some of our guys that have been around a long time, no longer Houston Texans. Guys like Antonio Smith, Danielle Manning, Owen Daniels. It's just part of the business.
It's amazing, Patty. Owen Daniels, part of that class of 06, which was so good. He was the last remaining member of this organization to be a part of that class. But Earl Mitchell, Antonio Smith, no ninja around. You look at even guys like Brian Brayman, who are fan favorites, Daryl Sharpton, Joe Mays, Bryce McCain, Daniel Manning, who meant so much to the locker room and on the field, one of the big free agents they signed prior to 2011 when they made the playoffs for the first time. You're looking at some big names no longer a part of this team. It's normal to have a lot of turnover on an NFL roster. You're going to get more than usual because it's a brand new staff in place, but you have new guys coming in.
New guys coming in, yes, a couple guys in the secondary, and perhaps the most notable name, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Quarterback, you need one, clearly. Matt Schaub traded to the Oakland Raiders, and Matt Schaub meant so much to this organization. It's so important to mention the contribution he made to the Texans while he was here, but 2013 was a terrible season for him. He gets a fresh start. The Texans get a fresh start at quarterback. Fitzpatrick is here to start if necessary, because Bill O'Brien's made it clear they're going to draft a quarterback at some point, but Fitzpatrick is a solid either spot starter or backup quarterback in this league. And then, Patty, you look at some of the rest of the names here. In the secondary, they got some help with Chris Clemens and also Kendrick Lewis, two guys who have played for Romeo Crennel. Actually, one of them has played for Romeo Crennel. Another guy who has Jarrell Poe, nose tackle. We mentioned Earl Mitchell gone. I don't think Poe's ultimately going to start, but he can start in spots for you. Garrett Graham gets re-signed. That's good news. Also, along the D-line, Ricardo Matthews, who could play a little nose tackle or end. I think you're going to see a lot of new names on the D-line and at linebacker, because with Joe Mays and Daryl Sharpton gone, you need some help at inside linebacker. Cushing comes back, but you're still thin there. There are going to be a lot of guys to get introduced to when the roster finally takes shape following the draft.
Well, one guy that needs no introduction, but he got a nice Hall of Fame introduction down in Miami. You were there, and that was Andre Johnson.
Patty, it was such a special night. University of Miami Hall of Fame. This is no slouch Hall of Fame. It's hard to get into this hall with all the great football players they've had. Clinton Portis also went in on that night. And also James Jones from their basketball team is now a member of the Miami Heat. Pat Riley was there, by the way, to do a little name dropping. But great to catch up with Andre Johnson, who really has meant so much to the Houston Texans franchise, the greatest player in the history of the Texans. And to see the adoration all the people in Miami have for him is familiar, yet also, you know, you get a little, hey, wait a minute, this is our guy. He wore number 5 for the Hurricanes, and he had a lot to share about his experiences there and with the Texans, of course.
Miami at the FSU 27, left hash. Dorsey fakes the handoff, throws, middle of the end zone, caught, Andre Johnson, rock and roll, touchdown, Hurricanes.
Keenum takes the snap. Fakes the give. Bootlegs to the right side. Has a lot of time. Guns it long down the right sideline. Wide open. Andre Johnson, 20, 10, 5. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston.
What are your thoughts, though, as you enter this new era with the Texans? We'll get to the University of Miami stuff in just a few moments.
You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just, you know, starting over again. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a new coaching staff. You know, we have there's been a lot of changes made, so. You just have to get in there and, you know, go to work and see what happens.
Presenting to Andre Johnson is the playmaker, Michael Irvin.
University of Miami Sports Hall of Fame induction night. So what does it mean to you overall? I mean, you're going in with Clinton Portis. You mentioned James, who you have a great background with.
It's, you know what? Everyone was asking me about it today and all ever since it's been announced. And I always said I don't think it'll really hit me until I got here to the ceremony. You know, you hear it, but I think until you experience it, you know, that's when it really hits you. You know, especially to go in, you know, at the University of Miami, you look at all the great players that came through here. And then to go on with Clinton, a guy came in with, you know, James came in the same year with us also.
Right.
And then to go in with a guy that you looked up to, who was probably one of the reasons why I came, in Lamar Thomas. So it's a tremendous honor. I'm humbled by it. You know, I'm just, you know, waiting for it all to get kicked off, man, and soak it all in.
When you look at the entire body of your career, I mean, here you are, you're entering year 12 in the NFL. Are the playoff years the best years to you? What are some of the memories that stand out more than others? Because you've had some incredible games and years where you might have gotten 8-8, 9-7 as the record.
I think the playoff years definitely stand out the most because, you know, that's what you play for. You know, you don't play to go 8-8. You know, the ultimate goal is winning the Super Bowl. So I think the best year we had was the year, well, I should say the best team that we had. was the year when we had the injury bug when I messed up my hamstring and Matt got the foot injury and Mark
right.
went towards Peck. You know, I think that was the best, you know, the best team we had. I think as the season went on, you just saw us getting better and better, and then the injury bug just bit us. So I think that was probably, you know, just that first year getting in the playoffs and winning our first playoff game. That's probably the most exciting year for us as a Texan.
And always good to hear some of your old calls. When you hear those, do you feel or can you hear the difference in how you are now as to how you were then?
Well, they scored a lot of touchdowns, okay? I mean, the Miami Hurricanes, we had games where they'd, you know, roll 40, 50 points. That's a lot of rock and rolls, you know. That's a lot of touchdowns. And it's fun to hear some of that stuff. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be their voice, and I got a championship ring as well. I didn't have anything to do with them winning, but it's an honor to have been part of that. And, you know, I don't think you'll ever see a team with that kind of talent on it again. They had 13 number one draft choices on the national championship team in 01.
Unbelievable. All right, we have to take another time out here on Texas Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll check in with the cheerleaders. Stay with us.
The 2014 Houston Texans season ticket priority wait list is filling up fast. Make sure you're part of the action and join the priority wait list at HoustonTexans.com today.
Welcome back to Texans Huddle, off-season edition. And aside from all the comings and goings of football players and coaches, it's also an annual rite of passage for the Houston Texans cheerleaders. Each and every year, about 1,000 cheerleaders come down here, out there in the bubble, all to try to get 35 spots.
Patty, this is blood and guts, okay? We talk about how hard it is to play in the National Football League, to be a cheerleader. I'm not going to say it's harder, but I'm not so sure it isn't. I mean, the amount of work that some of these ladies put in, the amount of hours they put in to practice for games, I think they actually have more on-field or on-playing surface practice than the players do because they don't have a collective bargaining agreement. Anyway, they do a lot of work to make the squad.
Well, our Drew Doherty drew the tough assignment and has a lot of work himself and was hanging out with them as they were trying out.
Thanks so much, Patty. That's right, the 2014-2015 Houston Texans cheerleader tryouts going on behind me and every girl out here trying to make the squad, and it's a big, big deal. We're going to talk with Britton right here. How'd it go?
It went good. I think I did okay, so we'll see what happens. So far, we're in the process of the first round. So before that, we were just dancing, having a good time, you know, learning the first round's always like the kind of easy part. You know, they just want to kind of see what the competition is, how everyone looks. So
are the butterflies still churning?
Yeah, they probably will the whole time.
First time you've tried out?
It's actually my third time. It's been 3 years since I've tried out.
You know what they say about the third time?
Third time's a charm.
How long have you been getting ready?
Since last year. Yes.
What sort of stuff are you doing that's different?
Everything. So I took some dance classes, tried my look, I did everything different to make it to the finals this year.
All right, thanks so much, Drew. And boy, Alto Gary doing another incredible job, as she always does.
Coach Gary has had the position since the get-go in franchise history. And on HoustonTexans.com, we had this cheerleader bracket because of March Madness, and it might still be going on, I'm not sure. But we're going through former cheerleaders, and they all rallied in on being competitive in this thing. It's such a sisterhood.
Yeah. Sisterhood of the traveling cheerleaders. All right, we have to take another time out here on Texans Huddle off-season edition, but don't go away. We've got a very interesting story about one of your Houston Texans when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle off-season edition. Now, while we've been spending most of the show kind of introducing you to and telling you about players, cheerleaders, and coaches that will be performing for you on Sundays, we're going to switch gears a little bit because offensive lineman Brandon Brooks, while he will be playing on Sundays, he spent a lot of his off-season preparing for possibly life after football.
And I think this is very important, Patty. I mean, more players have to do this, take internships, take the time to learn about life after football. Let's say you stop your career at 30. That's a young man, but for a football player, it's getting kind of advanced in years. Brandon Brooks, the largest Texan, played a large role for a small amount of time with Amogee Bank.
You know, I was nervous just because, you know, I never really had a real job, you know, so I didn't really know, business etiquette or maybe how to properly dress, maybe. You know, I had some ideas, and, you know, luckily I had worked out the first day, but it's nice to see the other side, you know, just see, what the real world's like. So the first 2 weeks, I went through pretty much every division of the bank, you know, treasury management, private banking, business banking, the actual bank downstairs, HR, compliance, legal, marketing as well, all through that. And then the third week, I did private banking for a couple of days. It was kind of a transition week. And then these past 2 weeks, I've been, on the fifth floor just doing investments, whether it's in the trading or on the trading floor, rather, or, foreign exchange or wealth management or trust, things along those lines. Playing in the NFL, there's a 100% chance of injury, and you never know when that might be. So, I'd be a fool not to create options for myself, regardless if I'm playing or not. So that's kind of the basis, why I do this as well.
So maybe after the NFL career, Brandon Brooks could either work in the bank or start a sitcom, because I think there's a lot of potential here with Brandon being a football player in that office.
Either way, I think you do just a fine job.
Yes, absolutely. And he's doing a good job on the field, by the way. At right guard last year, really took a big step forward. I think he's going to be a big part of the offensive line this year.
All right, well, that wraps up our off-season special, but we have another great special coming up next week at a special time on Wednesday at 5:30, and then it'll re-air again on Thursday in its usual time, and that is our draft preview special where we will be looking at the draft. What are you most excited about?
Well, hearing who's going to be the number one pick. I mean, doesn't everybody ask you? Everybody asks me. Everybody asks anybody associated with this organization, who's going to be the number one draft choice? We don't know yet, and that's what makes this so exciting.
Well, that is what I am most excited about, because on draft day, May 8th at 6 p.m., Mark and I will be pre-gaming it live. We'll get you all set up, give you all the latest information. Drew Doherty will be live in New York, 6 o'clock live right here on Fox Sports Southwest. Be sure to tune in next week for the draft preview special and May 8th for our live Texans draft special. We'll see you then.